I'm joined by Professor Jane Wilkinson, who's going to talk to us about women in education. Good morning, Professor.
Good morning, Amanda.
Lovely to chat to you. Now, according to the Australian Curriculum Assessment and Reporting Authority, women make up about 75% of all teachers, yet they're still underrepresented in leadership roles. How does that work?
That's a great question. And like all these things, you know, there's a range of factors. I mean, I think one of the things is that we have had, as a society, a fairly traditional view of what leadership should look like, and typically it is a male. And so even though I think society attitudes are changing, women still do come up against a lot of sometimes unconscious prejudice. It may not even be something that communities or people are aware of. Certainly, I know that I do a lot of research with both women and male leaders, and one of the things that the women often talk about is that they do things and they get judged differently. So, you know, they're held to sometimes higher standards. There's an expectation around how they should behave that seems to be different from the male leaders. And so that's an example of the sorts of things I'm talking about.
So what would be the biggest sort of barriers from preventing women from stepping into leadership roles?
I think it's what I've just said. I think that a lot of women lack confidence, and but I'm always cautious about saying that because it sounds like, you know, then you're blaming the victim, so to speak. Mm. If women lack confidence, there's a very good reason, because often they may have seen what's happened for other women who've stepped into leadership positions, and they also know that they have to prove themselves at a much higher standard, if you like. They're judged differently. There's a different set of values and ways of judging them compared to men. So I would say in that case that there's really a great opportunity for people around them, be it family members or colleagues, to make, you know, to give an encouraging word when a role comes up, you know, to tap them on the shoulder. Often the difference women will talk about going for leadership positions because they actually had someone they respected come up and tap them on the shoulder about it. And so that sort of very personal communication is a really big thing.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I'm just wondering how does leadership imbalance impact like students and staff and school culture?
Well, I think you can't be what you don't see. And, you know, if you're growing up as a young woman, but also as a young male, and the predominant authority figures that you see in school are male and not female, then that sort of confirms, if you like, a particular view of the world about who's got the power and should have the power and to be in authority, in positions of authority. So I think it's also, so it's very important both for women and young people, both male and female, to see a diverse sort of range of role models. And, you know, I'd also extend that to say people from different cultural and ethnic backgrounds, because we also have a very white Anglo-Australian workforce as well in teaching. I think that's really crucial that young people see that, children and young people, because otherwise, as I said, it's very difficult in a sense to imagine the possibility of doing these things if you only ever see a particular type of person going into that role.
Good point. Well, how has the representation of women in educational leadership changed over the years? Do you think we're moving in the right direction?
We are. Look, there's no doubt. Certainly when I went through school, more years than I care to admit, you know, I just didn't see any women in positions of responsibility in my public education system in Victoria. No one. And when I first started teaching, no one. There was no one. In fact, I never had either a deputy or a principal who was female, either as a teacher. And I was, in fact, when I became a deputy principal in the western part of Victoria in a regional town, I was the youngest, and I was also the first, I think one of the first women in that deputy principal role. So yes, it has changed, and it's definitely changing, and it's definitely progressing. So there's no doubt about it, but I would also say that it's changing too slowly. And I think that this is where I like to use the example. I do a lot of research in Scandinavian countries, And I think another big blocker is that there's an assumption that women must stay at home and look after the children. And we also have workplaces that aren't very family friendly. So one of the things that Sweden, Norway and Finland have is family friendly policies, which include, for example, the first 12 months of family leave. 9 months of that, you know, is for one of the parents. And then the other 3 months have to be taken by the other parent. And the reason the Scandinavian countries brought that policy in was because they found that typically what was happening was women were taking the first 9 months of family leave, and then the guys were going, oh, you know, I don't really want to do this. And so the women would take the other 3 months. And, you know, what the Scandinavian countries were trying to do was to say, look, it's important for both men and women to have the opportunity to care for children. So what my girlfriends who've been through that system tell me is that the difference between, you know, if they had their eldest child and it was just themselves looking after the child, and then their two younger children were brought up by themselves, but then the dad also had an opportunity for 3 months. They said it just made such a difference because the husband actually understood what it was like caring for young children. So I'm making this point that there's broader sort of policies that we can bring into our society that actually can help to sort of disrupt these kind of societal norms.
Great points and great conversation, and I could talk to you about this all day, but we are out of time. Hopefully you've inspired a few women to, you know, maybe step up and go for some of those leadership roles in education. Really,
and hopefully men and women to encourage them as well.
Of course. Well, thank you so much, Professor Wilkinson. Thanks for chatting to us.
Thanks, Amanda. Take